our themes, whatever we put underneath.
And perhaps sort of developing that, there's obvious placeholders for communication in the text about in various ways, but one of the things that occurs to me is that Who Is probably one of the major issues that is relevant across the community to, you know, it's relevant to governments, it's relevant to business, it's relevant to the industry, and yet the policy for it has been made in a silo. And so I think sort of the future Who Is policy development work, which we're recommending, ought to be a cross-community effort and involve all relevant stakeholders rather than be, you know, plunged down into a silo. Yeah. Let me just see what other... We've got Thick Thin, we've got Getting a Who Is policy. We've got... Okay. We've got privacy and proxy, that one, yeah. We've got IDNs in there, have we? Have we got standardising the output and reviewing? Because that was something that we keep discussing, agreeing on, and then forgetting.
Are we going to make proxy privacy number 5 for now? Because it's its own kind of category.
So then you see, you did get 5.
We got 5.
So that... One of the things that struck me in doing some of the review and the writing that I did, and I think it's mentioned in there, I'm having a large wave of jet lag hit me right now, there is no one inside ICANN, the corporation, ICANN, the organization, that is responsible for Who Is. It's just kind of, it's always talked about, it's there. We talk to the compliance team because they're the nominal home for it, but no one owns it. There's no place to go when there's a problem or a suggestion, right? It just gets talked about, and I don't know if that's something we want to put up as a big recommendation, but from my perspective, I think it's part of the problem.
I think that there's lots about it. I think we've just been talking about it. It's make this an organizational priority, a strategic priority to have resolved. And then, you know, we can put in various suggestions about how that might be achieved, like having a single person at a senior level reporting into the chief executive who is tasked with it. It might be putting enough resources into compliance so that it is effective and can be proactive. But I think that there's the higher level thing is about making this an organizational strategic priority.
So I completely agree with that, and I think that we really saw that in the compliance meeting we had, because they just kept saying, we will make people comply when we have some rule that we can, you know, hang our hat on, and they would not, but for the most part, they just sort of sat back and said, well, we have no, you know, there's nothing in the RAA, there's nothing in the registrant agreement that ICANN does not really have an agreement with the registrants. And so if someone doesn't take responsibility at a higher level to say, okay, these are the things we need to do to fix this problem and to let compliance do their job, then this will be here again. Different point, if I don't... But...
Sorry,
Just pause. Can we capture that? I don't know quite where to. Maybe on implementation at the top. It's about and you know, just under implementation.
I'd classify it as ownership, something
yes.
like that.
Yeah. Organizational priority.
Right. That's fine.
Strategic priority at the top. Board. Strategic priority. And
well, to me, the point is either do something about it or stop thinking about it, right? I'm not going to suggest, but basically, well, I know, but it's like spend all this time on it. Right.
It's true, but we found out also why this is. You know, some of what I like is it's kind of lifting the organization or parts of the organization above some of the issues we've been arguing about for a long time and giving a big picture. And so I think it was brilliant of the AOC to put us together. But
what about, actually, I've just looked at the next heading along where we've got compliance resources. Why don't we change compliance resources to strategic priority or something, make this a whole heading in its own right? Under that will flow sort of senior person with responsibility or board responsibility, compliance resource, because once it's a strategic priority, then it should flow through all of the organisational planning, right? And we want to see it in the strategic plan, we want to see the resource allocations for it, and we want to see the budgets in part of our follow-up work.
I like that because it and not because compliance isn't doing, like, compliance is doing what they are supposed to do, I believe, right?
Yeah.
They're doing contract compliance, but they are the only point really inside the organization that does who is, and that's a mistake. That's a failing, in my opinion, right? It's,
can we flesh that out? Sorry, board staff what? I know there's some ideas floating around.
Responsibility.
And oversight.
Part of the strategic plan, because the ICANN has a strategic plan, doesn't it? Allocation of budget and planning, or allocation of budget and something or other that sounds management.
Cross community implementation.
I think that cross-community, I would say, goes up into our policy, find a policy, and this is not just, you know, ask someone in some deep, deep, deep GNSO working group somewhere in outer space or Pluto to come up with this. This is cross-community. It's got to involve all relevant stakeholders within ICANN, and if they're not currently within the ICANN structure, like law enforcement, you need to reach out to them.
Cross-community, no, this was right, cross-community implementation, whatever was. Sure. Yes. And then under communication. Cross-community outreach. For lots of things. Should we add including communities outside of ICANN with specific interest in the issue? Beginning to look good, Madam Chair. Under proxy privacy, should we include some of the reveal relay, just kind of points of things that we
there, there's one recommendation on proxy privacy, which is paragraph 41, and it's broken out at God. There's no page numbers, so it's under the topic called Who is Data Accuracy? No. There's a big C somewhere called Data Accessibility and Privacy, and then paragraph 41 has got A, B, C, D, and E. I think that we're moving away from the idea of accreditation of proxy service providers because this is a level of detail which we're not going to get into. But I think some of the concepts in the A, B, C, D, and E are useful, which are standardized relay and reveal processes and timeframes, guidance on the appropriate level of publicly available information on the registrant, maintenance of a dedicated abuse point of contact, public disclosure of contact details. So these are suggested best practice guidelines. It's too detailed for the new us, which is not detailed, but I think these are quite good. These might be quite good thing, you know, just sort of thoughts to get our minds back into proxy privacy for what we could be dealing with on the level of recommendations here.
I guess I would look and say, you know, either there need to be specific policies with respect to privacy, proxy and privacy, or whatever, or if they're mentioned in the RAA, right, these need to be defined terms, right? And so maybe that's what it is define these things. Because I don't think you were here, Susan, but if you look at the RAA, it talks about privacy and proxy services, and they're always combined. And there's no definition of either of them.
I think that, you know, just a brutal summary of where we got to on proxy privacies before you joined was we don't want to create the policy on this, but we could do... What do we say? The contractual regime has the following implications on proxy privacy. The proxies are the registrant, and so they therefore bear responsibility, and anything that is, if there is not effective relay or reveal, then they will take the rap, right? And the registration becomes subject to cancellation. That is what the contract says, isn't it?
Except the contract also gives them a 5-day, which I don't understand how ICANN can sort of say, oh, no, you're not responsible if you do this, because I would hold a proxy registration company responsible for all content from day one, from my perspective, from an enforcement perspective. So if we're going to back off and not give specific recommendations, somewhere I think we need to address what is in the RAA now, or just tell the, you know, ask ICANN to, you know, review the, I'll have to, it's like,
can you find that? Yeah, can you help us with the detail on that? Because certainly that's a new one on me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not when they push back on you. So, well, it's sort of, you know, it's not very clear language. So let me find it. We can move on, but I'm just saying that. Yeah, so do I, and I just need to find it. I had actually started a... Maybe it's not 5.6.
I think that let's all think about this overnight. We've got to reach consensus on our recommendations on proxy privacy. Going down the road we were going down in Marina Del Rey was going to end in tears, because we were, first of all, getting to the edges of defining policy, trying to solve the problem in the room. And so, is there a better way of doing it? Is there a sort of, let's give our analysis of what... So if there's no answer on proxy privacy, we go back to what's in the contract, please. Do we say that, or do we have some sort of other solution? Or is what's in the contract workable?
So just going back to my notes about the discussion, which is when I walked in, was in the middle of the proxy privacy discussion. It was about defining the terms, proxy, privacy, reveal, relay. I believe I'm just paraphrasing what Bill was saying when I came in. Define the expectations. What does reveal, which I believe, and Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, which is what does reveal mean, what does relay mean? And at the time I walked in, I kind of jumped in my usual crazy way and said that some of this thinking had actually been done with the four who is... review studies coming, the four who is studies being done by the GNSO. So there might be terms we can pull from that, because there was some community outreach. And then the final thing is set out what happens if the expectations aren't met, which is one of the reasons kind of Cheryl came in to talk to us, which is, and I think that's going to be a very valuable part of proxy privacy.
Holding ICANN's feet to the fire on proxy is going to be very difficult.
Or just sort of part of, you know, in a way that what we've done with on data accuracy is to say, well, we expect this improvement. So what improvement are we expecting on privacy and proxy? And I think that we're not short of feedback and evidence about where this is getting up on people's nerves. We've got a lot, you know, the sections that Peter has drafted going through the feedback are very, very clear.
Yeah.
On where people are having difficulties. I don't see any feedback saying it's all wonderful and it's all working perfectly. So we've got to say, these are the issues that people are raising on proxy privacy. We need to have your solution on this within 12 months.
Yeah.
It's got to be cross-community developed, it's got to be blah, blah, blah. And if that hasn't happened, then you've got to go back to what? These get cancelled? Throw people in jail? What do you want to do?
Bring them before a public forum. No, just kidding. Can we put some of this into just under number five so people tomorrow have the benefit of the thinking today? Let me start with the three bullet points in my notes. Under proxy privacy, under the clear, concise, and communicated, A, define the terms, including, and let's just put it in so they have it tomorrow, including proxy, privacy, reveal, and relay. B, define the expectations, whatever we choose that to be. And C, set out what happens if the expectations aren't met.
And I... Hours. Whatever the, yeah, we, so as Wilfred suggested in, you know, for the accuracy, it'd be good if we could do a similar thing for this and say within such and such a time do blah, blah, blah. I actually think this is a place potentially to bring in the comment that, about, that this basically, what it needs to be done here is actually, it's bigger than just ICANN, or right. This is things that go on within privacy and proxy services has an impact to the domain name system, to the internet, the interwebs, exactly. And ICANN has a responsibility to make sure that it doesn't, you know, there isn't damage, broad scale damage, and there is at least some evidence, right, that privacy and proxy services are causing harm. And they should stop that. And if they can't clean up their act quickly, then they should get rid of it, basically. Stop the harm.
I think that's something that we've got quite clearly, and as I was reading the draft report, I felt we ought to be sharing the feedback that we've got on privacy and proxy with the people who've been tasked to study it, because otherwise it's just going to languish and sit there. There's some very rich and detailed feedback that we've got from people, and that can be a resource for the people who are studying this in detail. And we can offer to meet with them if that's going to be helpful.
I don't want to derail this discussion, but I don't want to... I have another point that I want, so I don't know if we're done with privacy.
I think, does anybody else want to come in on proxy privacy?
I'm just going to go outside and let people know if there's anybody out there that we're open again.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Thank you.
So, I think this is an implementation, and it speaks completely to the accuracy, but... currently, in the way, you know, you can register a domain name, you can put in inaccurate information, but you can also put in my information. There's no validation point. I don't think there's been a study, but every brand owner I talk to has the problem with domain registrations being registered in the brand's name almost all the way down to just the servers being different, or servers and email being different. And I've sort of broached the subject in this group before. But, you know, I've done more outreach within brand owners. Everyone faces that, along with domains by proxy, because people want a proxy registration but don't want to pay for it. So James was talking about that. So somewhere in this, we should recommend that you only can register in your own company or brand or individual name, and there should be a validation point for that. And if there isn't, all this accuracy will never happen.
Yeah, you can either validate before or after the fact. I think that you know, immediately, I know I did a huge lecture to everybody about not solutioneering, so I'm going to solutioneer here.
Right.
About, you know, the mechanism I'd immediately think of in that is that you put a warranty into the registrant's contract with the registrar to say, I am the person I've said I am, and I promise that the information I've given is true, and if it's not, then you can cancel the domain name. Yeah, so you've just got the contractual mechanism. What we're hearing again and again and again is there is the contractual mechanism to delete these names, but no one ever does it.
I completely agree, and what I'm concerned with here is that we focus on accuracy, 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 and have some automatic validation points or systems to validate that accuracy, and they go out and they validate that, yes, this is Facebook's information, but we didn't register the domain, and that is a very dangerous domain registration. Because they're not using our information for anything but fraud. So, I mean, this is going to hit that high level of let's protect that internet user.
And I think that if we want to navigate around the inevitable, you know, the overspill of that is, of course, well, if I want to be if I don't want to use my given name or my blah blah blah, I have a right not to. It's okay. You can call yourself My Jeans or anything you want to, as long as you're not impersonating somebody else and deceiving. There's the issue that you're talking about here is one of deception and impersonation, and I don't think even the most radical privacy advocate would say that it is a right to impersonate others and confuse consumers. So it's not saying that you've got, you know, you're not eroding the legitimate interest to hide your identity for legitimate purposes. But, you know, when I'm pretending to be Susan Kawaguchi around the place and using your credit card, I think, you know, I would expect someone to complain.
We just rely on the registrars being nice in turning the domain name over, not deleting it. They won't delete it.
How would you where would you recommend we capture that, and how? Wilfried?
I do see your problem. I agree there is a problem. But taking a step back, I'm wondering whether this is a problem that is specific to who is or to domain registrations. Because the same risk or the same mechanisms are available on quite a set of different planes and with different services. Like, you can easily register in my name on Facebook without me knowing, and you can probably register Bill in LinkedIn unless he has done that already himself. So it actually, where I want to get at is actually that you are implying a little bit more than some of us when you use the term correctness, because you also imply the legitimate representation of this entity. And this is my current feeling is this is more like a legal problem than a problem of correctness, because if Bill would find out about my home address and he would register me on Facebook and giving my address, the data would be correct because I can be reached at that postal address. Still, he would not have sort of my implicit or explicit permission to trade in my name. So I'm wondering, I might be up in the clouds here, but I'm wondering whether this is something that should go.
It's good.
This particular aspect should go into this headline of correctness.
It's something that we've kind of acknowledged from time to time, but never really delved into. And I do. It's one of my kind of overarching comments on the report at the moment is we don't explore what we mean by accuracy. It might be that we can go back to the study because they actually split it out into different categories. But I think that there is another aspect as well as of impersonation. Bill?
Yeah, this is really fraud, right? But it's something we're seeing. You see it, we see it. It is a fraudulent registration. So the accuracy tests will, in a sense, pass, but there still needs to be action. It's not enough just to do accuracy, as you were saying. It's validation. There needs to be another step, or something else needs to be taken. And I guess it's the other thing is that that registrars need to take faster action on these things when uncovered.
So you're basically saying, when it's fraudulent, you need to bump it right up the priority list and get rid of it quickly.
Right.
Anyone disagree with that?
But
there's a procedure. Yeah. It's an enormous legal issue because, I mean, even in the law enforcement community, let's just shift analogies. So mm-hmm. not to Facebook and PayPal's having somebody register a domain name fraudulently, but, you know, a question that we've debated over the last dozen years is when law enforcement calls to say that something is going on with the domain name, how do we know? I mean, we haven't even figured out how to know which law enforcement is calling and whether it's really law enforcement. So let me just share, once we get into what we've agreed on in the whois is that you can tell up front if you have all A's, you know, down, you know, and you've entered all A's, that's clearly on its face, not valid. But how does a registrar or a registry, particularly a registrar, know when Facebook or eBay is calling and versus someone else calling to just, again, my side, my perspective on the world is that a lot of the stuff has been gamed over the years. So someone wants a domain name dropped or they want it transferred to them, they'll call and say, this is fraudulent data. And that the person themselves is committing a fraud. So this begins to rise up the level of complicated stuff.
Okay, I've got Wilfried and then Seth.
And put me in on it. I totally agree with that. And the system's definitely been gamed, and we've lost domain names in the early years from people just saying, I am Susan Kawaguchi, and I want this done now. You know, and it's like, or I have gone around systems by actually representing myself, you know, and making them. I hate it when a registrar goes out of process, but I'm getting off the subject here. So, but if we do not bring this to the legitimate representation, I like those two terms that you used. as an issue for ICANN. ICANN compliance, when we were there, were stunned, absolutely stunned, that we had this problem, because they don't see these problems. The community sees these problems, but they don't get brought up to that level. So if we do not include some sort of issue, in whether it be in the appendix or be in the recommendation, but if they do not look at this and only validate for accurate data, this problem will continue. So there's no mechanism right now.
Q is Wilfried, Seth, Kathy, Bill. No, you're not on. Okay. Wilfried, Seth.
So again, I agree with your assessment that there is a problem. I'm not convinced that it's ICANN's job, sitting at this particular position where they are placed, that it's ICANN's job or the compliance department's job to get entangled in these sort of edge problems, legal problems, because I don't see any mosquito. I don't see any I don't see any way or any mechanism that would enable them to do anything on a global scale in a sort of a, I mean, you do? Okay. Tell me.
I've understood you correctly, it's basically to say we understand this is a very fair point that you're making. We've got to make provision, allowance for due process, for fairness, for review, whatever you want to do to avoid the gaming, but not to say, well, there's no point doing anything because it could be gamed. Yeah. Okay. I've got Bill and then Lutz.
I was going to suggest that to one way on the gaming issue is when Susan Kawaguchi calls and claims to be, or somebody calls claiming to be Susan, right, from Facebook, the simple operational thing is that the person receiving that phone call hangs up and calls Susan Kawaguchi up through using who is, okay? Well, sorry?
There's fraudulent entries about.
No, but not a fraudulent entry for Facebook. I am Susan Kawaguchi from Facebook.com. And someone has fraudulently registered a domain name using my address and contact information. Please, do something about that. And the reply is, okay, I will call you back. I will contact you using the information that is in who is for your registration, not the one in question. That is... Okay, so... Basically, it's... Okay, it's saying, all right, well, we're going to use the information that's in who is, and it's up to Susan at Facebook to do registry lock and other things to prevent her information from being messed up. But you don't accept... The gaming that goes on is social engineering. Okay? We're not going to we're not going to be able to get rid of all of it. But if somebody claims, the one that where they're saying, I'm so-and-so, and I want this taken over, right? Well, you have to prove who you are. The way you do that is you call somebody, you just do something out of band. You get off of that call and go to a different one.
Please, Yusuf.
Okay, Lutz.
If I understand correctly, and I do not know if I understand anything correctly, the problem is that there are informations in Whois which can't be verified by ICANN in order to check if the information is correct or not. They simply have no possibility to check if it's the correct information, even in a syntactical sense or in a semantic sense, that it's the right person which claims to be the person. So I wonder if ICANN has the opportunity to check the information that can be checked. So we are talking about business. If somebody registers a domain name or registers a name somewhere or a resource somewhere, he or she needs to have a contractual relationship to somebody. So these contractual relationships has to be codified in some place, and there, before some business makes a contractual relationship, they are checking the identity of the contractors. That's quite normal. So if we are not focusing on the very end edge information, but on the contracts, if we could have information in the service which is verifiable, which can be checked, and which can be proved. Of course, we are getting a lot of problems with, we do not get the final edge information in one step, because we have go down all the contracts, but we got following the contracts, we know who to sue for wrong information, and we come to an end instead of saying who we have wrong information here. We can do anything. It's arguing for the thin Whois approach.
Like to comment on your stance. I agree with you. We can't have ICANN responsible for everything, but if we don't at least identify this and point it out somewhere in our study, they can't. There's nothing that can be done. And to keep, I keep reiterating the same point. My information in a fraudulent registration is accurate, for the most part, amazingly accurate, scarily accurate. But I don't think ICANN understands all the issues that are in the Whois record. And so if we just simply point it out, and maybe it doesn't go in these recommendations, I'm fine with it not being in the recommendation, but I think it should be somewhere in the report in under accuracy that, yes, even if it's validated, it's accurate. And we have to, as a company, it's part of my job to let ICANN know. But even when I let ICANN compliance know, they can't do anything. They're just like...
Well, I think that part of... there's one level where it's fraud. There's another level where you could say, well, whatever's in the database is the record. So if it says it's Facebook's, it's yours.
And some registrars will immediately hand it over. But those other 900 are like, screw you. And so things go on.
What the real problem is the cooperation between business and registrars, right?
No, in this case, my problem is allowing accurate data that is not legitimately your data to be put in a Whois record. For example, we from the legal issues we do face as a company, and I'm sure every company faces that there's business registrations all over the world in the name of Facebook, but they don't have the Facebook. They have actual validated contact information. Now we go in and say, you cannot legally name your entity Facebook whatever, or eBay whatever, or PayPal. I mean, I've shut them down all over the world, but there was contact information, so it identified who was running that legal entity that was created in our name. So, I mean, but in a domain registration that can easily be popped up, you know, content put on it that would make you think it's Facebook or a famous brand, then, and And it's not harming our brand as much as it's pulling information from individual users. People rely on our brand as somewhat safe, not completely. And so they will give their information freely. I mean, if you want to protect that individual users, we have to also prevent people from illegitimately using information.
Thank you. Bill, did you want to come in?
Yeah, I
think we've probably, just to sort of say, I think that what we should do is share this document on the list so that people like Michael, like James, can have a look at it overnight. I think that probably we'll take your comment, Bill, and then I think we should say, well, we've done a good job today and let's we're nicely prepared.
Yeah, I'm just basically it's to agree with Susan and Wilfred. I mean, we need to be cautious not to go too far. But here, this is an example, a clear example, and we know it's not just Facebook, right? If it's happening to Facebook, it's happening to lots of other companies as well.
I think that
there are fraudulent registrations that are used, except for name server and other things, that are using all of the other details of the company, and it's in order to confuse. Okay, a consumer at some level. They wouldn't make it look as official, right? And to except to confuse. Otherwise, they'd put in A.
Also, it's individuals. I have made many a phone call to infringing registrants, and found out it's an 80-year-old man that has, you know. His wife answers the phone and doesn't know what a domain name is and a who his record is. And these are one-offs, and I understand that. It's to your point, Kathy. This is not the first, you know, bunch of accuracy issues we need to face. But I do not think ICANN understands all of these. So,
Kathy. So I'm wondering if, in kind of talking in background to Susan, that again, the first big crack is getting rid of those domain names that are so clear on their face, the AAAAs. But if the goal here is to make sure that it's on the radar screen of ICANN compliant, then maybe just a thought that we put it under findings and leave this one as kind of a pure development one, ask ICANN staff or compliance staff to track this over time and to develop some of their recommendations, you know, within the next 12 months or 24 months, so that, again, the next who is review team gets it, so that it's on their radar screen, and maybe there's a faster fix that they can begin to understand, especially for big companies. But let's start the tracking mechanism on this so that there'll be metrics.
I think that sort of just harking back to our earlier conversation is, on, you know, there's my million and one how to improve compliance, and it strikes me that we could perhaps reach out to compliance at this stage saying, this is where we're thinking, this is too detailed to really put into the report, what would help you do a better job, what would you find helpful from us in assisting you to get to where you'd like to be, Bill?
Yeah, I guess I would point out that this really isn't a compliance issue. I don't think it's a different animal. But we are falling into the, I think correctly, we're falling into the trap that, well, compliance is the only place that does anything related to who is, so we have to go to them. Exactly. This is an ecosystem. This is, you know, bigger than that. It's the ecosystem, and how do we protect consumers in the, you know, against the things that people will attempt to do.
Let's keep thinking about this. I've got Wilfried, and then I think we, you know, we've probably had it for today.
Yeah.
It's your suffering there. You were very discreet.
No, I guess the following is not going to make me very popular with Susan or with Bill, but I do see the danger that we are stepping far outside of our mandate. And I do see the danger that we are focusing on this particular issue because there is a very valid sort of issue with those two representatives on the team. This is not in any way meant to downplay the importance, but it is just one aspect of all the things that can go wrong and that are going wrong and that are done with malicious intent on the network. And I'm not comfortable with any attempt that tries to mix that larger problem space into the who is policy review team's report. I do not object against compiling a sort of informal appendix, although we said we don't want to do informal appendices, but sort of to collect those things we hit along the road. And this is just one aspect. This is a sort of a fraudulent registration to support phishing. That's, as you said, social engineering. There are lots of other things. You can attack the internet on different planes. You can do that on the application layer. You can do that sort of on the naming layer. You can do it on the routing layer. You can do it on the local area network. I think it would just blow apart the whole effort here if we would try to come up with a list of everything that can go bad and can go wrong. So I would rather suggest that we keep the accuracy as narrowly defined as we can, and maybe put the fraudulent registrations with correct data maybe under a completely different headline and under something which is, and by the way, I can, here is lots of stuff you should start to get educated about or to become aware about, but I think it's not part of the core of the report. Sorry for that, Susan.
I think that this is something that you yourself suggested, that this isn't, you know, maybe one of our headline recommendations. It might, for example, be a useful thing that we can cite as something that's happening when we're talking about the harms of inaccuracy in our earlier analysis or something like that, when we're actually just setting out the stall of you know, what's out there. And it might be an area of the report that could just be developed more. So I think that I just see nods around the table when, you know, we do need to keep our focus and we do need to keep within our scope. This example is very interesting, actually, but it's also it could be a very good example of the kind of harms that are caused, the consumer protection angle that brings us back to our scope. So this is consumer trust. This is another area that erodes consumer trust. So it's probably something for deep in our analysis as an example, but we might not be carrying it through to our headline findings. Okay, with that, I've asked Alice and Olaf if they would mind forwarding this to the list so that we've got it, and also people who aren't able to join us can see where we've got to. If you could just introduce it so that it makes some sense rather than just being this abstract, weird list. And say that what we're doing is to try to categorise our recommendations. We've in preparation for our discussions, we're trying to condense as much of the recommendations as possible. And this is our current thinking for the categories and where we might go, a high level approach that we might take. I'm so impressed by everybody. Particularly having heard some of the stories of your journeys and knowing that we saw you at breakfast having just got off plane. So thank you very, very much for turning up, and turning up in every sense, even in the kind of football sense of turning up and giving it the best game you can. Thank you. And I think that's given us a good start for tomorrow. Cheers.
Would anybody like to have dinner together? Yeah.